This morning I want to talk about life. And I want to start with a kind of a context. And let's pray. Father, give us ears to hear what you're speaking this morning. And Lord, open hearts to receive what you desire to do in each of our lives. So Lord, let your word come forth here this morning. I pray that our hearts would contain good soil, and Lord, that the seed of your word would be placed in our hearts and that it would grow and become strong as it takes root. Lord, that we would be blessed, but also Lord, that we would bless others, and Lord, that we would be able to minister life as you are ministering life to us, that we would be able to minister healing to others as you are ministering healing to us. And so we give you praise, we give you thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Read in Revelation where he's speaking to the churches. He said, God is who is and who was and who is to come. Same principle. And so it's like if I can come up here, God looks down on us and he sees our lives. Okay, if our life is the center, that's where we are currently. And we understand that Jesus is our Lord. He is our Savior. We have a relationship with him in the present today. But we also look forward and we can understand how God is our Lord. He's in the future. He leads us. He guides us. But this idea that he is our past, God stands outside of time. He was, he is to come, and he will be forever. We're created. He's the creator. So he created us in time and space, but he exists outside of time and space. Does that make sense? And so when God looks at us, he sees the totality of our life, even before we became believers. And what I believe that means is that he is watching, he's looking, he's seeing what has happened to us. How many of you know that some of the things that have happened to you in your life are not necessarily things you would have chosen? And so we have experiences, family dynamics, people do things to us, whatever. And so Jesus is Lord of all of that. We used to have this phrase, I don't know if they still have it or not, when I was a kid, sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt you. Anybody familiar with that phrase? Guess what? It's totally false. Sticks and stones will hurt you. They will break your bones, so to speak. They will cause a mark, but they will heal a whole lot quicker than some of the words that have been spoken to us and over us. Some of those things that have been spoken into our lives, and they were spoken in a negative way, have remained with us for years and years and years. And many times they dictate how we respond to certain situations, how we approach or don't approach certain people, how we look at new opportunities. And it goes back to old patterns, old things that play in our minds of what has been spoken or done to us. How many of you realize that it's not only the sin that we do that affects us, it's also the sin that's done to us that we didn't ask for, we didn't want, we never wanted it. So this morning, I want to look at four aspects of healing, and then Miss Nancy's going to lead us in kind of a Holy Spirit ministry time, and then we're going to have opportunity for prayer, for personal ministry. Four aspects of healing. And so I would ask Louis if you will come. I have a toy. Well, no, it's not a toy. This is a real deal, okay? This is a knife. Now, this is a really graphic illustration. But for my purposes, I hope not too graphic, okay? I got this in the Philippines. There's a man there that makes these, and I have, I think, four now. Been to the Philippines quite a few times, and he just comes up. He says, hey, I got something for you, and you know, I'm not necessarily a knife person, but it's kind of cool to have a knife. Now, I'm going to give this knife to Louis, and Louis, you're my friend, right? You're my friend. I trust you, brother.
Yes.
I trust you. Now, this is for illustration purposes only, to give you a visual. Did you hear that? Okay, good. Good. Now, if I were to turn away from Lewis and he, illustration purposes, don't do what I'm going to say. If he were to stab me in my back, so get in position to stab. Yeah, make it, well, yeah, go ahead and take the knife up here. I want it, you know, okay. If he were to do that and stab me in the back, say right behind the shoulder blade here. Okay, now let's say he did that. All right, thank you. You can sit down. I trust you only so far. But yeah, thank you, Louis. All right, let's put this down here. If he were to stab me in my back, let me ask you a question. Would I need to forgive him? Yeah. That's biblical. That's the first step in receiving healing, is that you forgive the person that hurt you. Now, if I forgive Lewis for stabbing me in the back, does that mean that the knife came out of my back? No. So I get stabbed in the back. I forgive Lewis. He's a good guy. At least he used to be. And it's like, okay, he stabs me in the back. I forgive you, but the knife stays in. At some point, if I'm going to really recover, I need the knife to come out. But let's say that that knife stays in for a while. Maybe it stays in for years, and that wound just kind of is there. It festers. It might kind of scab over, but the knife is still there. And I need to be healed. Now, let's just suppose that during that process, infection sets in. Because the wound has never been dealt with, and so the infection takes advantage of the wound, and then it just gets worse. Because the infection has a place to grow. Now, let's say that I get stabbed in the back. Yes, I forgive Louis. I need to forgive him. But I've never received any healing for that wound, never had any bandage put on it, never had the knife removed. Infection sets in. And let's say that that wound is right up here behind my left shoulder. And now, because of that knife and because of that wound, I really can't use that shoulder like God intended. And so it just doesn't work. This one works, but this one doesn't work anymore. And guess what that's called? Dysfunction. Because now I'm trying to adapt to something that has never been healed, and I'm trying to go through life one-armed when God never intended it that way. Four aspects of healing: forgiveness, healing, deliverance, which is like the infection, and restoration, taking care of the dysfunction. Forgiveness, healing, deliverance, restoration. You see, God wants us to use everything he gave us. We need to know what God desires to do. Because I believe that God wants to bring all four of those to pass. I wasn't going to preach this, and as we were driving up here, I felt like the Holy Spirit just kind of dropped this and said, I'll do this. And I said, okay. And what that tells me is that there's at least one person in this room that needs what I'm going to say and needs what we're going to impart. Because it's one thing to just teach about it and you get this information. It's another thing to actually be willing to submit to the Lord's work in our lives and receive it. Amen. Some of us here need to forgive our offender because relationships happen. They do. For some of you, this is old stuff. You've probably forgiven and forgiven. But you wonder why nothing seems to quite change. As long as you hold unforgiveness towards somebody, that person is still with you. Do you understand that? We kind of have understood. And as long as you hold that unforgiveness, they're just right by your side. They're still there. They're still holding on to the knife, and you're still experiencing it. But you forgive them, and it feels like you can't progress forward. You can't, you know something's not quite right, but many times we don't necessarily have a grid to put these kinds of things in, and so we really don't experience them. So we have to understand that God wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to restore. And God will reveal what he wants to heal. God will reveal what needs deliverance. Even as I'm saying this, there's some of you that have had thoughts like it just came full to the front of your mind. And that's what God wants to deal with. I would say make a note so you don't forget this. But probably, see, these things don't go very deep. These are things that you think about sometimes, like right before you go to sleep, and your mind is kind of drifting off and it goes back to this thing. Or maybe you find yourself just kind of rehashing and you know, maybe you forget about it for a month or two or whatever, but it comes back. It just comes back. These are things that come back. These are things that you just can't quite get over. You wonder about what was that? These are people that you really don't want to see. Maybe you have to see them. Whatever the Holy Spirit brings into your mind, that's what we want to deal with, because God reveals what he wants to heal. That's how God works. And what he will do is expose the lies that rob us from intimacy with him and intimacy with each other. Because the enemy wants to put wedges in between our relationships. He wants to put things in between us and God. He doesn't care what we do as long as we're not fulfilling the purpose that God intended. Unless you forgive the person, the offender is still with you. But the wound also needs to be acknowledged and treated. And I'm not saying that we need to like dredge up stuff. I'm not saying we need to go back and relive anything. But what we have to do is acknowledge to say, you know what, this really hurt. This really got me. We have to take authority over the whatever demonic, if there was any. Sometimes I think people are way too quick to give the devil much more credit than he's actually due. Some of it's just our own stupidity, quite frankly. We just did things, we made bad choices, and we're suffering the consequences of our choices. That's not the devil. That's just you being you. We all do that. But the enemy can take advantage of some of those things. And so if there's deliverance that needs you, you renounce it, you cast it out. Do you realize that you have the authority to do that as a believer?
Yes.
That you can tell the devil to go.
Yes.
You do it in Jesus' name every single time. But you have the authority as a child of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of God. You have the authority to do that. You literally, I do it out loud.
Yes.
Right. Now, I do it by myself many times, unless I feel like, you know, people look at you a little weird if you walk around, devil in Jesus' name, cast out. Hi, here, how much for the coffee at 7-Eleven? You know, it's just, okay. But you got to get real. And see, really, restoration then is a process of renewing our mind according to the Word of God, Romans 12. It's like, this is what the Word says, this is what I'm about. And if you have to dig around for these things, it's probably not time yet, and that's okay. I have experienced things in my life that happened a long time ago, and God begins to bring them up 20 years later, and I thought, well, I didn't even realize that was an issue. But now that I'm looking at it, yeah, that was an issue. And so I go through this process. See, lies are implanted in our lives when we experience these kind of wounds. And I'm talking about relational wounds. Your parents get divorced, you're about 10, 11 years old, and you think it's your fault. Was it your fault? No. But see, knowing that here and knowing that here is two different things. Because you can begin to believe, you know, if I had just been a better child, or if I had just done things differently, or somehow if I'd have just, you know, whatever. And you're 10 years old. You're not responsible for what your parents did or didn't do. You're not responsible for their choices. And yet things happen. Life happens. You get sinned against. Somebody comes, they borrow money, and they never pay it back. They say they're going to pay it back. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you remember things like that that have happened? You know, a very wise man told me one time, and it just kind of was like, he said, if you're going to loan somebody money, just give it to them, not expecting them to pay it back. And if they do, then that's a bonus. But see, that wound, that knife gets in there a little bit. He didn't pay me back. I had a guy. We were going through a really hard time in our church. In fact, it was a church split. This was a man that I respected. He was not a part of our network, but he was actually a part of one of the congregations that I pastored just before this time. And he knew what was going on. And he was actually visiting. And, you know, I had a good relationship with him, so I thought. And we sat down at the end of this time, and he realized what was going on, and he said, well, let me talk to a couple of people. I'll get right back to you. Give me a day, maybe two, and I'll get back. I think I can fix this. So he goes to wherever he goes, and I'm waiting for his call, and I wait a day. And I wait the second day. I'm anticipating because, you know, he's a trustworthy guy. He said he was going to get back to me. I wait 5 days. I wait 2 weeks. That happened in 1999. I've never talked to him since. He's never gotten back to me. He betrayed me. That's hard. But that's life. People will say things and then not follow through. What do you do with that? Well, I forgive him. But see, when someone that matters to you promises something, or someone that matters to you does something that they shouldn't do, when someone that matters to you lets you down, that comes in. You know, sometimes there's little knives and you can kind of handle that, but sometimes they're great big ones. It's hard to get over those. The things that God is bringing up in your mind are things that God wants to deal with. And what we have to do is begin to re-examine them in light of God. It says in Psalm 36:9, in his light, his presence, we see light, capital L, truth. In his light, in his presence, we see truth. His presence cuts through the lies that have kept us in bondage or have kept us dysfunctional. And when we recognize what God desires to do and then we receive it and allow him to actually do that, it changes things. And I don't understand exactly how that happens so much as I just know it does. God delights in this. In the personal presence of God, we experience the truth that destroys lies which we come to believe. That's why worship is so important. One of the reasons. Not only for ministering unto the Lord, because he enjoys it, he likes it. The Bible says that he comes, he's enthroned in our praise. It's like he comes and he sits among us. But when his presence comes in that way, in that tangible way, we are changed. Why are we changed? Because our dysfunction met his function. Because our lies met his truth. It's not the emotion that heals us. It's the healing personal presence of God in your life. And if you're a believer, you have him in your life. And you have to invite him into that area, that hurt, that, to use today's word, that trauma. You invite him in, you receive the healing that he has for you. Amen. This morning, I would like us to experience that. Because I believe, like I said, it's what God wants to do here this morning. And like I said, some of you have a history with this. That's wonderful. Maybe God wants you to take the next step. And sometimes, though, God does bring us into a good place. And we feel like, you know, I'm good. You know what? He wants you to minister to others. Because I'm a firm believer in the New Testament principle that the body edifies itself, that the body builds itself up. How do we do that? By just kind of saying things, nice pat on the back? No. By actually allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me to touch you, to work through you to touch me. Because all of us have the Holy Spirit working within us in some measure. And what we experienced here today was a perfect setup for what God wants to do. So I want to invite Alyssa, if you will come. And I just want you to play quietly behind us. Nancy's going to come. And ask her to share. And then to lead us in a time of healing. She has an anointing to do this. So.
One thing I love about Jesus is his intentionality. Everything he did had a reason why. And there's a scripture in Luke. Jesus goes to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. It's the place he grew up going. And he walks in and he has on his heart what he wants his hometown people to experience. And so he opens up the scriptures to Isaiah 61. And just to paraphrase, he's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery to the sight of the blind, heal the brokenhearted, and set those free that are oppressed." That was Jesus's heart. His first recorded public message. And when the people heard that and he went on to proclaim that this passage was about him, they went bonkers and got all offended because they knew him as the carpenter's son. They knew him as Mary's boy, and small town gossip remains. There was, you know, some question, like, who does he think he is? They could see the carpenter, but not the creator. The carpenter builds the table. The creator makes the tree. And because of their offense, they could not receive what was on his heart for them. They missed the day of their opportunity. Because he was right there in their midst. And his Holy Spirit is right here in our midst. And we don't want to miss a thing of what he wants to do. There's a story in John 9, starting in 1. Again, Jesus is intentional. It says, as he was walking along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it's day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. But while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed, and he came back seeing. This dude had been born blind. He had never seen a thing. He could stare, you know, at the sun, and all he saw was dark. He'd never seen a thing. And it's interesting because of, very intriguing when you think about it, the discussion among Jesus' own disciples, his main guys. Who sinned? Whose fault? Who can we blame? They were just normal people like you and I. We've done the same. Nobody's fault, Jesus said. But so the glory and power of God can be revealed in him. Jesus saw the man who had been blind since birth. He had been born blind. Jesus saw him. Think about that for a moment. Jesus saw the one who could not see him. He saw the man who could not see him. He wasn't just randomly strolling along, taking a walk with his guys. He was intentional. He knew exactly what he was going to do, when he was going to do it, and the reason why. He had been waiting for this opportunity to heal this man. Jesus saw the one who couldn't see him. People, we serve a God who sees us even when we don't want to see him, can't see him. He sees us. He sees you. A few years back, I was in a Zoom gathering, and a friend shared a passage from Isaiah 30, verse 18. And the context of the story is God's people were a mess. Okay, we'll just put it under that heading. We'll go through all the details. His people were a mess. And then this scripture comes along. Therefore, basically, in spite of all the mess that y'all are in, therefore, the Lord will wait. He will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted and he will have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. In that passage, the Hebrew that's translated in this version, gracious to you, mercy on you, the word is chesed. And it takes about 13 English words, I think, to actually convey everything that is his chesed. Most of the time, it's translated loving kindness, grace, goodness, compassion, mercy, love, etc., etc. And as she was explaining that, the Lord dropped this phrase in my heart. Love is the atmosphere of healing. His chesed, his love, his compassion, his mercy, all of that. That is the atmosphere in which he comes and brings healing. Because he loves each of us perfectly, he's waiting. He's been waiting to be gracious to us, waiting to reveal that extravagant love he just dumps on us. For you, to you, in you, at just this moment. And just a personal example of how the Lord can do this in the midst of a congregation. Some of you have heard this a few years back. I'm going to share a personal testimony when I encountered the Lord in the midst of worship one day back in Sarasota. I think it was the late months of 2019. We were going through a dog pile. You ever have a dog pile? It's like this happens, and then this happens, then this happens. Well, this happened. Our son, our youngest son, was diagnosed with a very scary disease. He's fine now. But in those months, in that first year, we didn't know which way it was going to go, okay? So, you know, when your kids hurt, mama was a mess, okay? And then I'm from Currituck down the road. And a hurricane, I forget which one, might have been Dorian, was coming up the coast. And mom and dad were sending me pictures before their power went out, that the Currituck Sound was surging into their yard and was getting in their garage. And we didn't know how hard, you know, how high it was going to go. You just don't know. Okay, that was that same weekend. And then Kenton came home and began to explain to me a difficult church situation that involved us and some others. And so it was like, well, I'll say it, cancer. I don't know what's happening with mom and dad, and now this. And it was just like three main areas of my life converged in the worst possible way. And everything resolved wonderfully. Everything's resolved beautifully. No issues anymore of any of it. But in the moment, in those weeks, months that followed, somewhere along the line, I just began functioning. You know, you just don't think, you just do. You know, if you're the mom, you just do. Soldier on. So I functioned, but not well. But I wasn't even aware of it. Have you ever been there? Yeah, okay, I'm talking to friends here. Yes. You know, you just do it. You just keep going. You just, okay, it's not that bad. I'm okay. It's going to be okay. You know, Lord, I trust you. Sometimes I'm going around, Lord, I trust you. I don't know if I'm telling me or him, probably both, you know, convincing myself, trust the Lord, girl. So a few months later, I think it was the first Sunday in December that year, our oldest son, Joshua, kind of like Ryan and Alyssa, they carry the anointing of just they just host the presence of the Lord beautifully. And Joshua was on the piano and he started singing those old, what I like to call holy worthy songs and we did that so much this morning, Lord, you are. There's a big difference between saying, Lord, you are, and he is. I mean, I love the proclamations that he is, but boy, there's something different when I get to sing, Lord, you are. You are holy. You are worthy. And so at some point, I'm down on the floor back 2019, December, in Sarasota, and it just felt like Holy Spirit of Jesus came and sat right down among us, and he began to feast on our buffet of worship and adoration. And I'm just giving it up, you know. I've lost all concept, and I'm just focused on Jesus. And all of a sudden, I see my Lord's hands wrap around the shredded heart and meld all those pieces together and put it back in. I didn't ask the Lord for a thing. All this stuff was furthest thing from my mind. I was just focused on Jesus. But he knew what this daughter needed. I didn't even know that's what was needed. I couldn't have told you my heart was shredded. But he did. And I just received. And if I thought I was a crying mess before that, I mean, I was a mess. But just so grateful. He saw me. I couldn't even see myself rightly, but he saw me and knew exactly what was needed. I crawled up out of, you know, worship was ended, and I just sat there. I don't even remember what the sermon was about. I'm sure it was great, honey. I'm just marveling over what the Lord did. He had been waiting to show me that extravagant healing love. I didn't even know it was needed. People, the Lord sees you right where you are. Even if you're like the blind man, you can't see him. You don't want to see him. You're not on speaking terms with him right now. That doesn't bother, you know, maybe it bothers him, but he's not going to judge you harshly. He gets where you're at. even if there's other people around, he can have a personal encounter with you, just like he did with the guy born blind. Sometimes, like me in that one time, you don't have to ask. But many times, like the gentleman he is, he'll wait for an invitation. So let's go there. Like that blind man, do you need physical healing? Or is there pain in your heart, like Kenton was talking about? Your heart, your mind, your emotions. Pain there that the Lord is waiting to pour his healing love into. It doesn't matter how long ago, how recent. It doesn't matter. Because he's waiting. He's been waiting to show you his compassion, his mercy. So like my husband said, it's one thing to know something. It's another thing to put ourselves in a position to receive what he wants to do. That difference between knowing and doing. Knowing and being. And like my husband said, what God reveals, he heals. So only Holy Spirit can heal. Only Jesus, his blood, his broken body. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to open our hearts and invite him to do what only he can do. I can't do anything. But we're going to give Jesus access to your heart or wherever you need his healing touch. So I invite you to close your eyes. I don't want you looking at me. I'm not looking at you. We're going to go before the Lord here and just invite him in. Holy Spirit of Jesus, we invite you. We invite you to come into whatever broken place, whether it's physical, mental, emotional. Lord, you know us best. You know us best. You know what we need, even when we're unaware, or maybe we're very aware. It's right there on the surface. Come, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. I'm just going to ask you to relax. There's no need to strive here. Relax. Holy Spirit, would you reveal what is on your heart for each son and each daughter in this place today? What do you want to bring healing to? What area is crying out for your healing power? Would you bring it to the surface in your gentleness? In your love, in your compassion, would you bring it up? Would you reveal yourself and express yourself however each son and daughter needs you to? You are so personal to each one. Healing to those places. I'm just going to sit here quietly with you, give you full access. Come and do, Holy Spirit, what only you can do. someone or someones have had something stolen from them that's been very precious. I don't know if it was physical, mental, emotional, but the Lord sees, and He's bringing restoration to your heart, restoration to your emotions, that which was stolen. It was ripped from you. He saw it. He's got you. You make all things new, Jesus. You are restored, daughter. Son, you are restored. Might be lurking within us. Reveal. We open access, full access to you, Jesus. Continue to do whatever's on your heart for each one of us. We don't want to miss a thing.
If it's been a while, I encourage you to say, I, in Jesus' name, take authority over the enemy in any way that he has taken advantage of this. And I cast him off of me and off of this wound in Jesus' name. If you've done that, or when you get to that point, of being kind of through, and sometimes we have to do this a number of times. We have to do this with a number of different situations and people. Say, Lord, I choose to renew my mind according to your word. But then you have to do it. Then you have to find what the word actually says about what you're dealing with. Father, we release those that have hurt us this morning. We forgive them. Father, we receive your healing. Be healed in Jesus' name by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of our salvation. It's part of what Jesus did for us on the cross, that by his stripes we are healed. When the word mentions healing in 1 Corinthians 12, it's plural. There's physical healing that we receive, Lord. There's emotional, mental healing that we receive, Father. I pray, Lord, specifically there's somebody that needs the wires to be switched. Not necessarily switched and taken apart, but just there's something that got crossed. And in Jesus' name, uncross those wires, Lord, that this person, it's a physical, but yet it needs to be a creative kind of miracle. Holy Spirit, come minister your life, your anointing. Uncross the wires to think clearly, to respond clearly. In Jesus' name, I take authority over the works of the enemy that have brought torment, that have brought division in relationships. We renounce the lies that have been spoken over us, that I'm not good enough, I'll never amount to anything, I'm the reason, I'm not the reason, whatever it is, it can be, it's unique for each and every one of us. And yet God is the same yesterday, today, forever. For some of us here this morning, he's bringing healing into your life, bringing healing into your past, so that you can walk out a glorious future with him. Father, we thank you.